Glory to God. Would you turn to Isaiah 40? In chapter Isaiah 40, verses 1. Hallelujah. And I want to welcome everybody that's new tonight. That means everybody, right? We're new every day. Hallelujah. We're new every day. Glory to God. And His mercies are new every morning. Praise you, Lord. Isaiah chapter 40. Let's get right to it. Amen. No time for games. Starting at verse 1. Is everybody there? Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, he's talking to the body of Christ, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountains of Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. I want you to understand tonight that there is a cry of the Lord. Tonight's teaching is a voice cries in the wilderness. There is a cry of God in a powerful way. The Spirit, when he was bringing me to this place, he says, I'm crying for my children. I am crying out for my children. I am crying out. The cry of the Lord for his children, for his people, in preparation of his return. There is a stirring and a quickening that is moving so rapidly. Because he's crying out for his children in preparation for his return. And we talked already that in part of his preparation for his return, it's got to be position. And there's two areas of position. Physical. You must be physically positioned where God wants you. And spiritually, you must be heart positioned where God wants you. Or you will miss God. Amen? What's coming? God's glory is coming in his body, and then himself as a person is coming. But the glory of the Lord is going to fill the body of Christ. It's going to get stronger, stronger, and stronger. But I want to share something with you. As God's glory is continuing to pour out and getting stronger, judgment gets harder. Garbage is more exposed. Hello. More garbage is more exposed. Remember, the glory of God is coming into the body of Christ, even greater and greater. And then he's personally coming. Positioning physically and spiritually. Where is your heart? And where are you physically positioned? Or you will miss God. Amen? In Matthew 3. The cry. In the wilderness. Oh, we bless you, Lord. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us, doesn't He? And there's groanings. That groaning is increasing. That groaning is increasing. You can sense it. If you're sensitive to the Spirit, you can sense it. There's such a groaning. There's such a desire for holiness and cleanliness. There's such a desire for purity right now in the body of Christ. There's such a desire. In Matthew chapter 3. Whew, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you. Is everybody there? First six verses. Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is what? At hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now remember, repentance is a representation of the washing of the blood. Amen? Because when you and I repent, the blood of the Lamb washes. And the blood always must go before the Spirit. Amen? So before God's glory comes even stronger, there's going to be such a move of repentance, but there's going to be such a move of the enemy. The enemy will not stand still. He's not going to let God just come in and do what He wants to do. The enemy will always oppose the move of God. That's his purpose. Amen? In verse 3. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, which we just read, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Again, this was not a flying animal that John just decided to grab out into the air and crunch it in his mouth. Amen? It was a bean. It was like a nut. I always tell people that's where the cereal came with, nut and honey. But he was not chasing live locusts, hello? And there was no chocolate for them to dip in to eat it. Hallelujah. Yeah, they dipped it in chocolate to eat it. Yeah, praise God. What a diet. Now, these days, people try to eat locusts and honey and call themselves a prophet. They begin to do, you know, dress like prophets of the Old Testament. I've had prophecies come to me where individuals were saying all kinds of stuff from the Old Testament, and they were nothing but granolas, nutty and fruity, going beyond what they were supposed to go beyond. When you go beyond the call of God and you go beyond the boundaries, believe me, those familiar spirits will open the door and pretend that they're the Holy Spirit, and they become to make you nutty and fruity, and you become granola. And devils love granola. It's their favorite breakfast. In verse 5, then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their what? They were confessing their sins. Hallelujah. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath of God? Oh, hallelujah. So we see here that repentance and exposure was being manifested. See, John the Baptist was a forerunner of the return of the Lord. That's who we are. We are the forerunner of the return of the Lord. Does everybody understand that? He's making a way. We are his forerunners. Everybody got it? Everybody say, I'm his forerunner. And what happened right here was repentance was coming forth and exposure was coming forth. Does everybody see that? Go to Luke 1. Why? Because there's a cry in the wilderness. There is a cry from God. That was the voice of God in the wilderness crying. What was he crying? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He's still doing it. That cry has not ceased. Verse 13. Come on, read it with me. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, For your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Do you know that many rejoiced at your birth? And I'm not talking about your physical birth. The world, your family rejoiced at your physical birth, but at your spiritual birth, all heaven rejoiced. In verse 14, hallelujah. I think they're still amazed at mine. Hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. verse 15. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Hello. How close you want to be to God? He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That is happening now. I mean, totally increasing. There is a shift that has happened months ago in the spirit that's coming forth in greater anointing and power. Greater anointing and power. And with, like I said, with the greater anointing and power and the glory of God coming forth, there's going to be more repentance, more exposure, and more attack of the enemy. Amen? Listen. Three things happened here as a forerunner of the return of the Lord, and as you and I, as his forerunners in preparation. It says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? We're going to turn many to Christ, and we're going to walk in the spirit and the power of Elijah. For what? To make a people prepared for the return of the Lord. It's fulfillment from the counsel of the Lord as forerunners. Preaching, repentance, and Christ's coming judgment. Remember what he said to the Pharisees and Sadducees and those who came out there. He said, brood of vipers, who told you about the wrath of God coming upon your life? God is not a respecter of person, though, is he? He's drawn all mankind unto him. All mankind. There is a move of the Spirit right now where there's a lot of dying to self. There are things that are being exposed that have been hidden in you for a long time that you thought you had management over it. That you thought was just put away. That you thought you were okay. And now all of a sudden it's coming up to the surface and troubling you. Why? Because God's glory. And what's he trying to do? He's trying to put more of his glory in you. He's trying to put more of his glory in you. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And like I said, the cry continues from the voice of God to his children. It's the cry of the Spirit. Repentance to the believer for pride. Let me repeat this. There's three areas of repentance. Repentance to the believer for pride. Repentance to the believing backslider for lust and worldliness. The first one is repentance to the believer for pride. Repentance to the backslider, the believing backslider, for lust and worldliness. And then there's a repentance for the unbeliever for not believing. Everybody got it? Three areas of repentance. Now you got to remember something. This is from the counsel of the Lord, which is brought forth by the throne room of God, interpreted by the Spirit of counsel. Everything that is a counsel of the Lord from the throne room of God has to do with kingdom business, not personal business. Does everybody understand that? This is what's going forth through the whole body of Christ now. Oh, hallelujah. I want to go over some of these things. Pride says, the repentance to the believer for pride. What does pride say? Pride says, I do this and I do that. It brings to self, causes to miss the visitation of the Lord by counsel or revelation. Israel had many visitations from the Lord. You know that? In fact, the Lord was with them for a long time. Amen? Has everybody got it? I mean, Israel missed the visitation of God. The Lord was there for 30 and a half, you know. But anyways, his ministry was 3.5 years. He was exposing himself. But the pride is what missed God. Do you understand that? The pride that missed God. Why? Because people were brought to themselves. They justified what they did. Hi, I do this for God. Hi, I pray for this for God. Hi, I've been many days for God. Hi, see, if you're involved, if it's you, that's pride. I remember one day I heard a rebuke from the Lord. For somebody who was boasting how much they prayed. He said, it's not your prayers. It's not your prayers. Does everybody understand that? Because who prays through us? The Holy Spirit. It's not our prayers, it's His prayers. Far be it. Does everybody understand that? Pride says, I do this and that. It brings to self, causes to miss the visitation of the Lord by counsel or revelation. Like I said, Israel, many visitations. Look at, they had the cloud by day and the fire by night. God was with them all the time, and they still grumbled and complained, didn't they? And they rebelled. Because of the desires of their heart that were dictated by self and not God. They wanted more. They wouldn't take full responsibility, only partial. They tried to blame it on everybody else. Oh, if God would have, they were blaming all their stuff on God. Oh, we should go back and get some real food. That's enough of this stuff coming from heaven. That's nice. I like the cloud by day and the fire by night. But, you know, I want some real electricity. I want my TV back. I want my phone back. Oh, hallelujah. Pride. Pride returns words when corrected. Pride. We probably need to do a Pride 3 tape. But there's repentance to the believer for pride. Does everybody understand that? That's the enemy's tactic. Pride. The backslider of lust and worldliness. Rejectors of counsel. Brings captivity to the mind to act like the world. Does everybody understand that? Delusion that comes. The delusions that come. Because there's a looking for a special fulfillment. But from everywhere, but from God. Even though that there's a desire to get fulfilled from God, but the delusion. Is everybody with me? The delusion, because of the pride involved also. And because of the backslidden arena of the desires of the dictate of the heart, has caused a delusion. And this delusion brings an individual off course. Now these are tactics of the enemy, aren't they? We're not fighting flesh and blood, are we? We're fighting powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places. We're fighting witchcraft. Do you know that the powers of darkness right now are trying to throw witchcraft on you? If you're having a time or a struggle, even now, trying to receive what the Spirit is saying, that means the powers of darkness are hindering your mind. And if you let them, they will succeed. Oh, hallelujah. Look at the delusions. Look at the kings of Israel and so forth. Look at all the kings that had, I always say porcupines, but concubines. And they had everything, you know. They were porcupines. They had wealth. They had everything. But they miss God. Because of the lust. They were looking for more. Again, the backsliders, the believing backsliders of lust and worldliness, rejectors of counsel, brings captivity to the mind to act like the world. Delusion that of fulfillment of someone's or something is a need to better their lives. Hello? That's why people jump from church to church because of the delusion. That's why people jump from relationship to relationship. That's why they jump from job to job. Or they claim that this is mine. This is mine. How many times have you thought it was yours? It's like, you know, remember we were driving, I remember we used to play this game in the car. And we claimed the car. That's mine, I claimed it! We'd be sitting in the back seat, we were too young, couldn't even reach the pedals. And we'd be claiming, oh, that's mine! Do you see that red vet there? That's, I claim that. Yeah, right, you ain't got two nickels. People do that in believers. That's mine. That's my car, that's my house, that's my husband, that's my wife, that's my job. Mine. Mine. Oh, hallelujah. Backsliding is when someone is conforming to the ethics and traditions of the world. That's how the world acts. That's what backsliding is. No submission to authority and an independent spirit. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Now, for the unbelieving repentance, not believing that God can do it. Not believing that God can do it. How many people believe that God can't do it? Oh, they can speak it, but they can't walk it. Fear of losing life. Fear of losing wife, husband, job, or blessing. Anxious. I got to have it now. Compete with others. Can't see the whole picture. Only revolves around self while other things get neglected. This is the way of the world, isn't it? It revolves around self. Man, you go out and talk about to somebody in the world, you know what they talk about? What they're doing. This is what I have. Hey, yeah, this is what I have. Backsliding again is when an individual begins to conform to the ethics and traditions of the world. Anxiousness. Gotta have it now. Compete with others. Can't see the whole picture. Only revolves around self while other things get neglected. No spiritual respect or honor. Go to Jeremiah 7. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. Three areas of repentance are to the what? To the believer, to the believing backslider, and to the unbeliever. How many people don't believe that there's a God? But when they get in real deep trouble, they go, oh, God, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. Please be there. Jeremiah 7. The cry continues. What is the purpose of this? To expose the enemy. The enemy must be exposed. Jeremiah 7 and verse 8. Would you read it with me? Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do these abominations. You know how many times people come into the house of God and say this? But they don't realize they're saying that. Do you understand that? Because of the deception of the enemy. They don't realize that they're coming in the house of God and saying this. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 11, Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, see it, have seen it, says the Lord. But go now. Come on, read it with me. Go now to my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. And now because you have done all these things, says the Lord, and I spoke to you rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear, and I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore I will do to the house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to this place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all of your brethren, the whole prosperity of Ephraim. Let me tell you something. Things begin to happen when you are out of line and out of position. Struggle. Fight. Finances. Verse 16. Therefore do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or a prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. What is he saying? Don't pray for them. Go do something. Is everybody with me? Do you see? Do you not see what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead dough to make cakes for the queen of heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods that they may provoke me to anger. Now listen, these cakes were an offering as lust. They were probably raisin cakes. They were probably raisin cakes. They were offering to the queen of heaven because of perversion and lust that was going on. They were taking captivity in the arena of lust. It's probably nuts and honey in there too with raisins. Who knows? Granolas, right? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Where are we now? Oh, here. Okay. Verse 19. And he says, do they provoke me to anger, says the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the shame of their own faces? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury will be poured out on this place, on man and on beast, on the trees of the field and on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and eat them. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, which is the world, bondage, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be what? Well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backwards or not forward. Is everybody all right? Judgment in the house of God. What they were offering, these cakes and the queen, like I said, it was a perversion. It was the lust demon. And they were opening themselves up to demonic activity. Amen? Why? Because they were being led by the dictates of their own heart. The dictates of their heart. Let me share something with you, very important. And I've had to learn this lesson. Because there was something that I wanted, even though when I went to go pray, it stayed there. Is everybody with me? Even when I went to go pray, it stayed there. There are times when I thought it was from God. But if I waited, I realized that he would change my heart so that I would know the truth. I didn't move just because I felt that that was God. I waited. And you know what he did? Because I trusted him, he changed my heart and I was able to see. And he rescued me from so many things that I thought were of him. And I began to learn. That's why I love to wait on God. I began to learn that the dictates of my heart are still evil. I began to learn these things, and the more I waited on God, the more God changed my heart. Because see, you and I pick up stuff every single day. Every day. There's a fiery dart, there's a corruptible seed, the voice of the stranger. Something comes about, oh, it feels good. Oh, must be God. Well, the enemy knows how to make you feel good. But as I waited on God, he changed the dictates of my heart. Go to Ezekiel 18. Say, I'm a forerunner of the return of the Lord. I'm to return the children of God back to God. I'm to return the backsliders. I'm supposed to express repentance, that the blood will wash, that others will be saved, and God will rescue them. Ezekiel chapter 18. Oh, to God be the glory. This is the cry of God in the wilderness. The same thing that John the Baptist was doing. That's what we're to be doing. I'll never forget that when I first got saved, and I was in a morning prayer meeting. I used to go to a morning prayer meeting, and the Lord sent me there. And man, I was there, but I wasn't there. And the presence of God was so wonderful there. And the pastor got up and laid hands on me, and he said, the spirit of John the Baptist. Well, I didn't know too much because I was a baby. I remember reading about John. And I began to weep and cry. I mean, the power of God and the anointing of God ripped me apart all over again. And I began to study some of the things about John. And one of the things that impressed me and imparted in me so much was about the spirit of Elijah that he was coming in. And see, this is where you and I are now. The spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Moses are here. Do you understand that? They're already here on the earth. Now, they haven't physically come yet, but they will. But the spirit of Elijah and Moses is here right now. When Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, who showed up? Elijah and who? Moses. You know what those represented? His spiritual fathers. Those are his spiritual fathers. Why? Because of the inheritance. Jesus was transfigured. Why? He was expressing, look at this is the year. What did it say? 6 days are up there, right? We're already in the 6,000th year. Amen? And what happened in that 6,000th year or that sixth day? Everybody, Jesus was changed, wasn't he? And the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Moses was there. They were there physically. But I'm telling you right now, the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Moses is here on the earth. And they will physically come also. Oh, hallelujah. Ezekiel 18 and verse 9. I think. Ezekiel 18, verse 9. Glory to God. Okay. Praise God. Oh, I think it's 17. Yeah. I think. Uh-oh, where'd I go, Dad? Oh, hallelujah. Hang tough here. Dad! Okay. That's what I'll do then. Let's go to Ezekiel 3. Oh, I see. We may be going back to Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18, verse 19, thank you. Did you bring your Holy Ghost erasers? Come on, some things just don't change. I won't make any excuses. Even though my flesh would love to. Read it with me. Yet you say, why should the Son not bear the guilt of the Father? Because the Son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and observed them. He shall surely live. The soul who sins, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the guilt of the Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turns from all of his sins which he has committed, keeps all of my statutes. You see, there's more than just turning, isn't there? Then there's keeping. And he keeps all my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he shall live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be what? Remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall be remembered. Now this is powerful, because if you have backslidden or broken covenant with God, all the stuff that you have been as a believer that has been stored up in heaven for you is gone. When you break covenant, everything is gone. Is everybody with me? Everything's removed. Hallelujah. All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed. Because of them he shall die. Yet you say, why? The way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is it not my way which is fair, and yours which is what? Not fair. And I'll go over verse 30. Therefore I will judge you, O Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all of your transgressions, so that the iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a what? A new heart and a what? New spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore turn and what? Live. So is it our responsibility as forerunners? Remember, we're in the spirit of Elijah. Is it our responsibility as forerunners to expose the enemy? Amen. Is it our responsibility as forerunners to bring people into repentance? Amen. Is it our responsibility as forerunners to be clean and pure ourselves? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. What God does, and I see it all the time, he promotes, then he exposes. So you might have got a promotion. Believe me, you can expect exposure and everything. He doesn't expose you before he promotes you. He's tested you. Now he promotes you, then exposes you. Does everybody understand that? He promotes you, then exposes you in everything. Why? Because you must fit the office now. Everybody got it? Or you'll be removed from the office. So he promotes you, then exposes you. Amen? Look at how many times people got married, then they got exposed. Hallelujah. People get a job, then they get exposed. They get promoted in ministry. Believe me, in ministry, when you get promoted, you will be exposed. I can 100% guarantee it. First, God will expose you privately, then he'll expose you openly. Go to Psalm 15. Is everybody okay? I'm telling you, the cry of the Spirit is to clean the church. The purity of the church. The purity of the church. Why? Because God's glory is being more expressed. And because of his glory being more expressed, more light is exposing darkness. Psalm 15. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Psalm 15. Let's read it together. Is everybody there? Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Now I want to share a couple of things. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness. In other words, one who talks what he walks. Amen? We'll go a little bit further on this, but he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue. Oh, hallelujah. How many times do you backbite with your tongue? How many times have you accused someone, even jokingly? Amen? How many times have you talked about somebody? Nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money at usury, nor takes does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall what? Never be moved. Never be moved. So I want to go over a couple of things here. Dwell and abide or walk with him. You want favor of God? Number one, walks what he talks, honest with self and with others. Walks what he talks, walks what they talk, honest with self and others. Number two, doesn't respond to offense or disappointments with reproach. Doesn't respond to offense or disappointments with reproach. Number three. Did everybody get that? Despises deception and ungodliness, but reverences the Lord more than his or her life. Despises deception and ungodliness, but reverences the Lord more than his own life. Despises deception and ungodliness, but reverences the Lord more than his own life. And the godly ethics won't change. Their godly ethics don't change. No matter what goes on, they don't change. I won't change. God pushes you in office and position. You better not allow circumstances to change your life. You better allow anything to go what has to go to fulfill the will and the call of God in your life. No matter what it is. You cannot be a man pleaser. You cannot be a money pleaser. Hello? And you can't be a soul pleaser. You must be a God pleaser in every area and every action of your life. And you won't change. Number four, won't be moved by money or influence of man. But surrender to Christ's cause at all costs. But surrender to Christ's cause at all cost. Won't be moved by money or influence of man. Especially with those who the fame of wickedness. You know, people who are high and wealthy and so forth. And, you know, you won't be influenced by them. But surrender to Christ's cause at all costs. Go to Matthew 18. You know, something happened very powerful in our anointing service Friday night. One of the things the Lord began to open my eyes to so much demonic activity, I began to see spirits that were sea critters. I saw a lizard, and I saw a lizard on a woman's back, that the fingers were engripped in it. There were some things that I saw I didn't share, but this one here was very powerful. It had a snoot, it had long fingers, and it had a tail, and it was on a woman's back. And it looked at me as I was binding powers of darkness. You know what it said to me? She agreed with me. I'm going to share something with you very important. This is the cry from God. When you agree with the voice of the stranger, you have accepted a devil. When you agree with the voice of the stranger, you have accepted the enemy. When you agree with God, you accept the Spirit of God. This, I'm telling you, this Spirit looked me right in the face and said she agreed with me. I didn't see all of them. As I began to pray for individuals, I kept hearing those demons were crying out to me saying, "He agreed with me! She agreed with me!" In other words, they had a right to be there. And they did. Until repentance came. I was amazed. And then I was watching the animal station with my daughter. And this lizard come on. And I looked, I'm yelling on the chair with my daughter, "That's the one! That's the one!" This thing was one that ran across the water. And it had the same length, fingers, everything. I'm like, "That's it!" The snoot was a little bit different, though. But I'm telling you, I saw the fingers, I saw all this stuff. I'm going, "Whoa," and this thing was cruising across the water. And I'm yelling to my daughter, "Lizzie, that's it! I saw that on a person the other night." She's looking at me, "Dad, you're gone, man. I just see it heads in the water." I said, "You'll see it, sister. You'll get it one day. You won't think your father's out there." Like, of course, that's not easy to express to a 5-year-old, is it? Hallelujah. In Matthew 18:18. Hallelujah. How many of y'all know we're not fighting flesh and blood? I'm telling you, more demonic activity is going to be exposed. More. Things that have been holding you, strongholds, and things that devils have been still having access to you are going to be more and more exposed. Things that have been hidden and hidden and hidden for years, even after you got born again, are going to be exposed. Because God is cleaning up His church. He's cleaning up this temple. He's removing the money changers. He's removing all the garbage. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 18, "Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Again, I say to you, what's he talking about? Binding powers of darkness, right? He's talking about whatever you bind on earth. In other words, whatever you do in the natural realm is done in the spirit realm. "And again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Now, listen, this is the word of God, isn't it? Does it also coordinate for darkness? Yes. God's word is God's word. Amen. Didn't the devil use God's word with Jesus? Tried to trick him, didn't he? Well, let me share something with you. So if when the enemy comes and that voice of the stranger comes and you agree with it, then you've accepted that devil and he has a full right to you. We have a powerful teaching called the power of agreement. And I suggest that you get it sometime. Because it goes a little bit deeper. The power of agreement. Go to 1 Chronicles 21. I'm telling you, Daddy is crying. The Spirit is crying for the deliverance of His children. 1 Chronicles 21. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Would you read verse 1 with me? 1 Chronicles 21. Is everybody there? Let's read it. "Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel." Oh, hallelujah. What did he do? He moved David, didn't he? He moved him. "So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, 'Go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring the number of them to me that I may know it.'" Now I want you to understand something. He wasn't supposed to do that. It offended God. It offended the Lord. What did he do? He touched and agreed what Satan said, didn't he? and the devil had access to him. Does everybody understand that? He had access to him. Let me share something very important. If you've been offended, keep your mouth shut. Especially in churches and so forth, God has put you under authority. Be careful, because the Bible says, touch not the anointed. Well, you're anointed too, I know it, but don't lose it. Be careful what you say. Because what you sow is what you reap. God knows exactly what goes on behind closed doors. See, when you touch and agree with the enemy, you go into captivity. The first place you go into captivity is the mind. When you touch and agree with the enemy, the first place of captivity is the mind. You can't see beyond your nose. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Come on, look at it. This is what happened. What did he do? Satan came against him, right? He moved him. He moved him out of position. And what did he do? He was disobedient to God. What did he do? He just went, he wanted to count Israel. He wanted to do a count, a number. How many people? But God opposed it. He was not for it. Now look at what happened in verse 9. Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Now wait a minute, go to verse 8. So David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Ooh. He didn't think he was doing anything bad. He just thought he was going out to count. See, we have another teaching called, Who Told You That? So the Lord spoke to David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine, 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me. It's amazing when you blow it, everybody else suffers. That's how families are destroyed. That's how children are lost. That's how people are moved out of position. And David said again, I am in great distress, I bet. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of what? Into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel. 70,000 men of Israel fell, and God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying, it is enough now, restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Then David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between the earth and heaven, having his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. And David said to God, was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who sinned and done evil indeed. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord, my God, be against me and my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued. I'm telling you, what you do affects everybody else. Amen? It will catch up to you later. Hello. What is Satan trying to do? Get you to agree, isn't he? He moves you out of position. Let me share a couple of things with you. Go to Zechariah chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Zechariah chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Zechariah chapter 3. So the devil moved him out of position, didn't he? He moved him. And judgment came. And that was just chastening. In Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1, what does it say? And then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to what? Oppose him. Satan will oppose you in everything. Every time, let me tell you something, he sees God's hand stretching towards you. He sees the blessings of the Lord stretching towards you. He'll do everything and anything he can to oppose you because he opposes God. Amen? He'll try to get you moved, won't he? Satan opposes the righteous. Nothing that you and I have done, but it's his righteousness. He opposes the righteous. In Matthew 13 and verse 19, turn there for a second. Or you can write it down. Hallelujah. It says that Satan removes the good seed. He opposes the righteous, and Satan removes the good seed. No, people don't, they forget about Satan. They think that they're comfortable and they made it and they're okay. Nobody's okay. Matthew 13, 19. Satan removes the good seed. Matthew 13, 38 and 39. He sows corruptible seed. He removes the seed, good seed, and he sows corruptible seed. I'm sharing this with you because the thoughts, so many people think that their thoughts are theirs. And they're not. The voice of the enemy that tries to move them out of position. The voice of the enemy that plants corruptible seeds. That's why every night you got to curse every corruptible seed that's been parted in you. Command it to wither and die and break and loose yourself from every associated spirit. Because every corruptible seed has an associated spirit. Amen? Listen, I'm sharing this with you because if you're struggling in an area, God is going to bring more stuff up. You can't run from it. You must overcome it. Because if you run from it, you're not loosed from it. You must overcome it. You know, exposure is not bad. It's good. See, some people have been living with these things for so long that they think it's a part of their character. But I'm telling you, for God's glory to flow through you, you've got to let God deal with you. He's going to allow circumstances in your life to expose you. In John 8, 44, would you turn there, please? Hallelujah. Come on, let's be joyful. Yeah, right, okay. I'm being exposed big time. I'm supposed to be joyful. Yes, it says, count all exposure joyful. Hallelujah. People use drugs, alcohol, and all kinds of other stuff and whatever. They're just trying to cover up. Not willing to face the exposure. Amen? Listen, so many people need to feel good about themselves. You want to feel good about yourself? Don't get anything from the world to feel good about yourself. Get it from the throne room of God. Because if you want to feel good about yourself from the world, it'll bring bondage. Hello? Even when you feel good that you did something good, thank you, Lord. You give him the glory and you let it off of you because it wasn't you that did it. It was him that did it through you. Let me tell you, when you hold one little thing, you've touched and agreed with the enemy and he's got access to you. Then pride gets another log on the fire. That's why the Bible says he's the most cunning beast God created. In John 8, 44, would you read it with me? What was he talking about? He's talking about Satan. He says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Oh, hallelujah. So you think he's going to tell you the truth? No way. I've had many demons talk to me. Let me tell you, I've had demons come up out of a person that were very nice. Oh, my wife will tell you. Oh, please don't move me from here. Sweet little demon. I'm telling you, I was a baby in Christ. The thing almost had me convinced. I was thinking, man, I can't move this thing from here. Wait a minute. That's a devil. I was only a couple months old and casting out devils in my living room. People were throwing up in buckets. We were doing all kinds of strange stuff. Casting serpents out of staffs and inanimate objects. And we were having a good old time. You know, things you do because you're a child of the Most High God. You know, my neighbors got a little frightened when chasing a snake running down the street with a knife, you know. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's the father of lies in Acts 5:3. He instigates sin. He instigates sin. Listen, if you don't know the tactics of the enemy, you need to, because he'll make a fool out of you. In 1 Peter 5:8, he preys on the people of God. You can look these up later. I'm going to give you the scriptures, though. In 1 Peter 5:8, he preys on the people of God. But you can turn to 2 Corinthians 11. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 11. Is everybody okay? Are you getting it? Are you joyful? Hallelujah. Sometimes we need to be refreshed in the enemy's tactics. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14 and 15, it says, no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Well, if he can transform himself into an angel of light, he can transform himself in the voice of the Lord. Does everybody understand that? Hello? He's not stupid. There's only one speaker in you. You better discern what you're hearing from and what you're seeing. It's amazing. Everybody else will know what's what, but you won't. Why? Captivity of the mind. Listen, he transforms himself into an angel of light, therefore is no great thing if his ministers are transformed, also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be what? According to their works. Go to 2 Timothy 2. Oh, to God be the glory. Let the word speak. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just for me and you. In verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, in other words, he repents or she repents or whatever. They repent, he cleanses himself from the latter. He will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Where there's strife, there's a devil. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be what? Gentle. Able to teach. Patient, not anxious. Patient. In what? Humility. Correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Have been what? Taken captive by him to do his will. There's their captivity. It usually creates a hardened heart, generates strife. In James 4:7, would you turn there? Devil preys on God's people. He deceives. He hardens the hearts. He causes strife. James 4:7. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Well, what is he trying to do? He prevents you from submitting. Why? So you can't resist him. He prevents you from submitting. Reasoning. Oh, reasoning's a killer. The cry of the Father. The cry of the Spirit. Would you turn to Matthew 18? The Bible says, blessed is the man who trusts in God. And curses the man who trusts in man. In other words, if you're agreeing with the things of God, you're blessed. If you're agreeing with the things of the devil, you're cursed. And then what happens? He's got access to you. In Matthew 18, here's a requirement. Oh, to God be the glory. Two simple requirements. Matthew 18. In verse 2, then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a what? As little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is very important. Childlike. We can never lose sight of the childlike. It's a requirement as you and I, as a child of the Most High God. We can never come out of that childlike arena. Even though we're maturing, never let your maturity bring pride. Never. None of us has ever made it. And we're not going to until we get in. He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Now, what is a child like? Willing to learn. Like a sponge. Always willing to learn. Let me see. Always willing to learn. Childlike is always willing to learn. You know what a little child is? All trusting. All trusting. Willing to learn. All trusting. And quick to forgive. That's childlike. Amen? And in Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to close here. Two requirements. Everybody there? For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. That's where we must maintain a righteous and holy life. Two requirements, childlike. And maintain a righteous and holy life. In other words, separated, sanctified life. It is the cry of the Spirit for God's children to stand before God blameless. His glory is increasing. As His glory increasing, wickedness is exposed. Sin is exposed. Transgressions are exposed. Things are exposed. Why? Is God trying to bring judgment on us? No. He's trying to bring glory on us. Does everybody understand that? It's about His glory. It's about the end time return. We are forerunners of the return of the Lord. We are to be sanctified and separated unto Him in every area of our life. In every area. Childlike. It's very simple. We begin to lose the simplicity of Christ. We begin to get bound by letter and our own righteousness and how much we do and how much we pray and all of these other things where the devil begins to bring things to self. And I'm telling you, it's childlike. That's what he's looking for. Humble. Childlike. All trusting. All submitting. All surrendering. All loving. All forgiving. Amen. The cry of the Spirit. One voice that cries in the wilderness. Don't miss the visitation of the Lord. because you're caught up with self. Amen. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you, Master, for your word. And Lord, the seed that's been imparted here today, I ask, Lord, I apply the blood of Jesus upon it, and I ask that you allow it to grow and bear fruit for your glory. And Lord, where there needs to be correction, let it be received in humility. Where there needs to be repentance, Lord, let it be accepted unto your throne room, Master. But Lord, I'm asking in the mighty name of Jesus that you continue to melt us, mold us, prune us to bear more fruit for your glory. Purge us. Purge us. Remove from us all those things that offend you, that we may be empty of self and filled with you. And to you be all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.